The Statue of Liberty, one of the most famous American monuments, is a must-see for most Americans, and many people will travel for days just to see it. It's ironic that some of the people that are closest to it, New Yorkers, barely even give it a glance if they happen to be driving past it. Similarly, some in the town of Slinger overlook the famous Slinger Speedway when they happen to be around it, unless they're one of the neighbors that experiences the rumble of the engines every Sunday night. Some Slinger students, however, became quite curious about some of the going-ons at the racetrack, so they interviewed the chaplain of the Speedway, Jim Zirke.
Over 60 years ago, a natural glacial kettle in Slinger, Wisconsin, was discovered as an interesting place to race cars. When the public found out around the year 1948, it was decided that the kettle would turn into a racing venue that we now know as the Slinger Super Speedway.
As I understand the story, in 1948, that area over there was a natural kettle. A glacial kettle. Some guys just decided that, you know, hey, that would be a neat place to race cars. And pretty soon the public kind of discovered it. Around 1948 was when it actually opened up as a venue for the public.
Raleigh Hayter became the owner as the Speedway's popularity began to grow. During this time, around 1960, it was a quarter-mile dirt track, and that's when future racetrack chaplain Jim Zirke first found his interest in the venue.
From that point on, it just kind of grew. A gentleman named Raleigh Hayter ended up owning the place, and it was a dirt track, quarter-mile dirt track, and that's when I started coming here in the 60s.
As it continued to grow, a dirt track wasn't sufficient, so Raleigh Hayter made the decision to get the track paved. Mr. Hayter eventually sold the track to Wayne Erickson, who operated the track until recently when Wayne's son Rodney and Todd Thielen took over.
In 1974, Mr. Hayter had the place paved. They more or less mimicked it was either Daytona or Bristol, two high bank tracks. And in 74, Wayne Erickson did the grading on that project. He also raced here. 1976, then, Wayne Erickson actually purchased the track from Mr. Hayter, and he operated it up until 2013.
When questioned about the legitimacy of the track's title, Jim told us that the title isn't changing until someone proves otherwise.
Nobody's proven them wrong, I guess. Fastest quarter mile oval. Some of the fastest cars on a track like this would be the midgets or sprint cars, and they've laps that are just phenomenally fast, faster than the official record here, 11.095 seconds that Tony Strupp set. No one's been able to beat that.
Jim then went on to explain that many very famous racers have circled, or maybe ovaled, the Speedway track throughout the years.
Really, if you go down the list of the memorable racers in NASCAR, Dale Earnhardt Sr., the legend, raced here. Bobby Allison has raced here. Matt Kenseth, Alan Kulwicki raced here. In fact, I was on his pit crew when he raced here. Pretty much every named driver.
He was proud to let us know that many of the racers competing at the Speedway now have a huge racing career ahead of them.
I know at the Nationals and a couple of our other races, we have guys racing here now whose names you are going to hear in the future. Ty Majeski is one. Derek Krause is another one. And Natalie Decker, a young lady. They're all on transition up to NASCAR level racing.
When asked about noise complaints, Jim just had to laugh. He then told us how they work hard to meet the noise regulations applied by the Village of Slinger.
I would have to say that some have. But you move to Slinger and there's been a track here for 69 years. The village enforces a noise ordinance. We regularly track to make sure we're achieving at or under the maximum decibel level allowed.
Speedway has a reputation of being quite noisy, and yet the people still embrace the track. Jim discussed the thrill of racing, as well as the revenue brought in for small business within the community that makes the Speedway something to be cherished and embraced.
The track provides, on Sunday nights, a lot of revenue into the town as fans stop at restaurants. They have a stock car on sign at the entrance to the village.
There was one question that Jim definitely expected us to ask, even though it may have been the toughest to answer. Why does the racetrack need a chaplain? He responded willingly with a sense of pride and meaning for the work that he does.
Oh boy. Well, let's put it this way. I knew somebody was going to ask this. The purpose is that, quite frankly, this is very, very dangerous activity. I have no doubt way back in the past that you had people who were killed here. We have had people who are racing here, have been in an accident and have suffered an injury, required hospitalization. When you get into something that in the blink of an eye, you can have a life-changing event happen. People want to have the presence of God at the track. That goes true whether you're talking fighter pilots, soldiers on the ground, or guys racing. A lot of the guys here I know, they want to know what are the constants, what is unchanging. And so a chaplain is always the unchanging presence. He's your friend when all your friends have turned against you. And just being present really helps.
While Slinger Speedway is small and might not seem particularly important on a national scale, Jim talked openly about the up-and-comers in racing having raced there and their potential for stardom, increasing the legacy of the Slinger Speedway.
There's hardly a NASCAR Cup Series race or Infinity Series race where you don't hear a mention of Slinger Super Speedway. When they talk about guys like Matt Kenseth and some of the rising stars who work their way up from the Midwestern Bull Rings, and that's what they call a short track that's inside lingo, but they work themselves up from that to eventual stardom.
People are naturally drawn to chaos and destruction, so it's no surprise that Slinger Speedway Slam Fest is such a popular event. Jim reflected on the satisfaction and fun of this type of demolition derby.
Slam Fest, it's an automotive circus. The intent is to create as much mayhem and destruction as possible. I have actually raced in Slam Fest a couple times, and it is a blast. You know, going out and destroying a car on purpose, it's a riot. Especially the guys who race regularly, for them, that's like a night off. They put together these cars with the intention that these things are going to get, you know, towed to the scrapyard.
A popular part of Slamfest is the gauntlet race. Jim spoke lightheartedly about the pandemonium associated with this event.
My favorite is the gauntlet race, and that's what I've raced in, where a small school bus, and then you have these guys whose job it is, by whatever means necessary, stop that school bus from making six laps. So you're pounding into it, and it's so much fun. Tip it over, spin it out, crash it. School kids like seeing the school buses roll over. I mean, it's just a blast.